This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Here are some numbers from today's running of the annual Boston Marathon.
For the 116th running of the legendary race,
22,426 athletes were at the start.
They ran in 85-plus degree temperatures.
But that didn't stop a wheelchair racer from breaking a world record.
And it didn't stop the women's race from coming down to another neck-and-neck finish.
It's only going to be a matter of seconds again. She emptied her tank, didn't she? 2 seconds, maybe 12 feet.
The heat also didn't stop an emotional come-from-behind victory in the men's race.
WBUR's Alex Ashlock was at the finish line in Copley Square. He's been following the race all day, and he is now joining us in the studio. So, Alex, how was the day?
Well, Meghna, give you another number. I feel like I lost 10 pounds. I didn't even run in the race. Frankly, I really don't know how anyone did, but I saw them crossing the finish line. I saw them coming down Commonwealth Avenue, and they're still out there right now. Here's one of the runners. His name is Alan Ryan of Honolulu. How was it out there?
Brutal. It was pretty tough. Went out a little too fast, but it was good, you know what I mean? We train in Hawaii, but we don't go this hot, you know what I mean? But it was hard.
And now Christine Kennedy from California by way, as you'll hear, of Ireland.
Oh, it was hot, but it was great. The having so much water out there and ice out there, that was amazing. I ran Chicago. And there was not as much water out there and support, and I was actually wobbling in the last mile, but here you had water right up to the finish. And
as of around now, there haven't been the many medical problems that were expected, although Pierre de Hemecourt, who's the co-medical director of the marathon, told us that there have been more non-finishers at this point than he's ever seen in his tenure. Nearly 200 runners taken off the course today.
I can't really blame them, given how hot it was. And Christine Kennedy mentioned the water. I was seeing tweets all day about fire departments putting out hoses for runners who needed it. But that didn't stop it from being a really exciting race, Alex. A Kenyan sweep, I hear.
Another Kenyan sweep on both the men's and women's sides. Kenyans going 1-2-3 in both races. Wesley Corrier won the men's race. Now, the time today, 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 40 seconds, was more than 9 minutes slower than that time last year, which was the world's fastest ever by a fellow Kenyan, Jeffrey Mutai. Mutai, by the way, had to drop out of the race today with cramps, most likely caused by the heat. Corrier said he actually enjoyed the heat today, and he picked his way to first place after being in 6th at around 20 miles.
I saw the guys in front of me. I passed number 5, and I was like, if I finish number 5 in Boston, awesome. You know, and then I saw a guy in front of me. I was like, okay, let me get 4th. You know, 4th is not bad, too. So, I just started counting them, and at that point, I wasn't even thinking about winning.
It was so fascinating. I was watching on television, and as they rounded their way into Kenmore Square, he was in 2nd, and then suddenly something turned on, and there he was crossing the finish line first.
He turned it on.
Well, let me ask you about Jeffrey Mutai, last year's winner. Apparently, by dropping out of the race, he may be jeopardizing his opportunity to represent Kenya in the London Olympics.
Right. Believe it or not, even though he ran the world's fastest ever marathon here at Boston last year, he hasn't been picked for the Kenyan Olympic team yet. They'll do that at the end of this month, April, after the London and Rotterdam marathons. And in those races, I can guarantee you there will be several Kenyans who will run really fast times, and they might make their bid for the Olympic team over Jeffrey Mutai, so he may not even go to London.
Okay, well, let's talk about what happened on the women's side. Neck and neck again.
Again, for the 5th straight year, I think, the finish less than 3 seconds. Sharon Sherop of Kenya won the women's race over fellow Kenyan, as I said, Jamina Sumgong, and that, again, marking the 5th straight women's race decided by 3 seconds or less. By the way, we should mention also that regarding Americans, the top Americans were not really here because they've already qualified for those Olympic Games I just mentioned. But an American man did come in 4th, Jason Hartman.
A good showing there. So tell us about the exciting finish in the wheelchair races.
Really amazing today. Surprises. Joshua Cassidy of Canada won and set a new world record, 1 hour, 18 minutes and 25 seconds, 2 seconds faster than the Ernst van Dyck world record. He's from South Africa that had stood since 2004. Van Dyck was 6th today. American Shirley Riley won the women's race.
Okay, so because of the heat, Alex, I know that the Boston Athletic Association told runners who were entered but didn't want to run that they could defer their entry into next year. So do we know how many did?
The number we have right now is about 4,300 registered runners choosing not to run. Now, the thing I don't know is how many of those people just didn't pick up their number, they didn't bother to go pick up their number, or they did and they just didn't go to Hopkinton for the start. Because only if you picked up your number and didn't start the race can your entry be deferred until next year.
But still an exciting race today, and the winner's clocking mile of pace of just over 5 minutes a mile.
Amazing.
I will never fail to be amazed by that. And also by your reporting every year on this day, WBUR's Alex Ashlock, reporting live here from the Radio Boston studios. Thanks so much, Alex.
You're welcome.
Alex Ashlock, our own marathon man. As we just heard, today's winners were mere seconds ahead of their closest competitors, but that's not the way it was in 1907 when a freight train crossed the marathon route in Framingham just as the runners arrived.
The lead runner, Tom Longboat, beat the train while his rivals had to wait for it to pass. Longboat won by 3 minutes.
That bit of marathon trivia comes to us courtesy of John Marcus, editor of MySecretBoston.com. He's an expert in all lesser-known things about our region, and he's with us now. Welcome, John.
Thanks for having me.
So, some facts about the Boston Marathon. We all know that it's the oldest marathon in the U.S., but you tell us that it was not the first.
That's right. The very first marathon in America was held about 7 months before the first Boston Marathon. That was a race between Stamford, Connecticut, and New York City in September of 1896. There were about 30 runners. Even so, when the Boston Marathon began, it was actually not called the Boston Marathon. It was called the American Marathon.
Hmm. Oh, but second to New York again.
Again.
All right. Well, regardless, the marathon in Boston for its entire existence has been run by one organization, the Boston Athletic Association. So tell us all about them.
Well, the BAA was set up in 1887 to, quote, encourage all manly sports, unquote. And it had a big clubhouse around where the Boston Public Library is now. It had billiard halls, a gym, bowling alley, and a Turkish bath, and that was torn down in 1936.
And, John, question about the logo, this ubiquitous unicorn that you see everywhere. Where did that come from?
You do see that unicorn everywhere. Every running event around the world, someone's wearing BAA apparel with that logo. The unicorn is meant to symbolize something to pursue that can never be caught.
Aha.
Except in a Harry Potter novel. Okay. Anyway. Well, we all remember the story, John, of Rosie Ruiz, who was declared the first place winner in the 1980 women's race, but stripped of her title after it was revealed that she had taken the green line for much of her journey. Apparently, she wasn't the first to try that, though. A little history of cheating in the marathon?
Yes, there is a proud history of cheating in the Boston Marathon that goes back to 1909, and a man named Howard Pierce, who was from New Bedford, and he dropped out around 8 miles into the race and got a lift from a passing car, which, when you think about it, in 1909 was not easy to do. There weren't a lot of cars, but on the upside, there wasn't a lot of traffic either, so he ended up at the finish line. He said that he was just heading to the clubhouse to get his stuff. The police stopped him there. A few years after that, in 1916, there was a runner named Freddie Merchant, and he caught a ride with 2 miles to go and then got out of the car and ran across the finish line. But he was ratted out by a Boy Scout who had seen him.
A Boy Scout?
He had seen him cheat, and he was the Boy Scout reported him, and Freddie Merchant was disqualified.
Well, a Boy Scout.
I think finishing a marathon in that way makes a lot of sense, personally, I got to say. But let's send a big cheer out to the Boy Scouts. All right, John, so we've come to the moment in our program that Meghna and I have been dreading. You prepared a little marathon quiz for us, right?
That's correct. This is also probably a good time in the conversation to apologize for the people who were around me last year when I ran the marathon and told them about all the landmarks all the way along. I'm sorry I was the guy that
it was a 26-mile guided tour.
A trivia contest for 26.2 miles. So I have six questions, three for each of you, and a tiebreaker if we need it. And Meghna, the first question is for you.
Okay.
The first 26 runnings of the Boston Marathon did not actually begin as they do now in Hopkinton. From 1897 until 1923, where was the starting gun fired? In A, Marlborough, B, Stowe, or C, Ashland?
I am going with Ashland.
Ashland is correct. The Boston Marathon.
Did you really know that?
No, I didn't. I was just thinking it's probably the closest to Hopkinton.
It is the next town in, and that's where the Boston Marathon began. It was run for the first time on April 19th, 1897, in a starting line that someone traced in the dirt with the heel of his shoe on what is now Pleasant Street in front of a shoebox factory in Ashland. The start was moved to Hopkinton in 1924 when the international distance for a marathon was changed. The first route, by the way, that was considered by the BAA was the route of Paul Revere's famous ride to warn the Minutemen that the British were coming, or as Sarah Palin likes to describe it, to warn the British that the British were coming. But that distance proved too short.
Interesting. All right, next question.
Anthony, I mentioned that the distance standards were changed.
Yeah.
For nearly its first quarter century, the Boston Marathon was not 26.2 miles, as it is now, but it was 24.5 miles, until the standard distance of 26.2 was set by the International Amateur Athletic Federation. They changed the distance to reflect a race that was run in which country? A, England, B, Greece, or C, Italy?
I'm going to say Greece because I've always thought it was marathon to Athens, that was the distance.
Well, that was purportedly the very first marathon, but in fact, the correct answer is England. During the London Olympics in 1908, King Edward VII wanted to watch the start of the Olympic marathon from Windsor Castle, and that proved to be exactly 26 miles from Olympic Stadium, and the stadium is 385 yards, so it comes out to be 26.2 miles. So, Meghna, a question for you. True or false? That should be easier. Marathon runners are required to undergo a physical examination before the race. True or false?
True.
Actually, the answer is false.
Oh, I knew it.
But it was once true. Beginning in 1900, all Boston Marathon runners were required to undergo a physical examination on the morning of the race. Doctors declared three runners unfit in 1958, but they ran anyway, so the physicals were just discontinued a few years after that.
Wow.
So another question for you, Anthony. True or false? The Boston Marathon has never been canceled or postponed.
That is a true statement.
That is true. You're correct.
I actually knew that.
The marathon was run through snow squalls in 1925 and again in 1961 and again in 1967. It snowed. Sleet in 1907, and in 1905, the temperature reached 100 degrees, and it still was run. In 1939, not only was there a nor'easter, there was a partial solar eclipse, and they still ran the marathon. In 1927, it was so hot that some of the streets began to melt, and they ran the marathon anyway. And in 1976, the temperature got up to about 96 degrees, and people on the sidelines sprayed water on the runners. They started to call that year's race the Run for the Hoses. But there was one year that the marathon was run very differently. In 1918, because of World War I, it was run as a 10-man military relay race instead of as a conventional marathon. But that's the only year that it's been run in any different format.
Fascinating. Wow.
So another question for you, Meghna. The Boston Marathon route is overall A, an incline, B, a decline, or C, pretty much level?
Decline.
It is, in fact, a decline.
Yay!
It has to be, because it ends up at sea level, more or less.
It ends up 16 feet above sea level, and begins at 462 feet above sea level. Even though it's very famous for the Heartbreak Hill section, which is actually four hills in Newton, at that point it rises up again to about 236.2 feet at the peak of Heartbreak Hill, which is around where BC is. It falls to 16 feet above sea level at the finish line. And if you actually ever bike the marathon route backwards, which thousands of cyclists did this morning because the roads are closed, so there's this unofficial tradition of cyclists ride out to the starting line and then back. It's really hard because going out to the starting line is uphill.
Only you would actually do both. Have you done both?
Yes.
On the same day?
No.
Okay.
So what's the big deal about the Boston Marathon?
Yeah, you know, you'd think.
It just coasts downhill.
The challenge is that the hills come so late in the race. They're at about mile 18 to 22. Of a 26-mile race, that begins to hurt. Your legs are hurting at that point. So, Anthony, question for you.
And this is for the tie, I have to point out.
Oh, really?
It's for the tie.
The best I can do is
Or the
tie.
Loss. It could be for the loss. Anthony, the Boston Marathon did not award prize money until 1986, when top runners began to be lured away by huge purses at other races, all jealous of the prestige of the Boston Marathon. The first men's winner ever to be compensated was an Australian named Rob De Castella, who got $60,000, and in addition to his $60,000, he got A, a lifetime supply of New Balance sneakers, B, a Mercedes-Benz, or C, a DeLorean.
Well, I think I know what he wanted, but I guess I'm going to go with the New Balance sneakers since they're a Boston-based company.
And I'm sorry, Anthony.
Oh, no! Once again, applying too much intelligence to the
problem. Don't tell me he got the DeLorean.
He got the Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that was my second choice.
He won a brand new Mercedes-Benz along with $60,000. First place is now worth 2.5 times that much money, but no car.
I still want to hear the tiebreaker question, even though we don't need it.
Okay, well, the tiebreaker question would have been... that, as we all know, Kenyan runners are known for dominating the marathon these days, but the Boston Marathon had its first international champion in only its second year. the non-American winner in the second year was from what country?
Canada. Ireland. Ireland.
He was from Canada.
He was from Canada.
Magna wins even more, I guess.
This is so rare.
I demand
a
recount.
He was a Canadian student at Boston College, and his name, you like, Ronald McDonald.
No kidding.
Ronald J. McDonald was the first international winner of the Boston Marathon in its second running.
Well, John Marcus is the editor of MySecretBoston.com. John, thanks so much for sharing your secrets with
us. Thank you very much.
Canada. How did you know Canada?
It only makes up for the fact that you crushed me in our Boston history quiz a while ago.
Right. Stay with us up next. The marathon's not the only athletic event in town. The Sox lost at home today, but the team is preparing to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Fenway Park later this week. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.